Our scripture for this morning, our second scripture, is Psalm number 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. God is so good, and that psalm would have been sung originally. And I don't know if you all know Ryan Nichols. Do you know Ryan? Do you know Ryan Nichols? Okay. Ryan has a rather significant speech impediment. From things that he has suffered in his life. And one of the ways that people are taught to deal with a stutter kind of thing is to sing what they want to say. A week ago, I was listening to Ryan, and I heard a singing voice. And the one I heard, I don't think was Ryan's per se. But today, Ryan was tuned in to a singing voice as he was speaking the scripture, and it was almost flawless once he had tuned into that. God is so good to us, and the music of God's love for us, the music that would have been in the Hebrew language, in the songs that King David would have played, are truly amazing. And while we may not know those tunes now, some of which had names, they're still out there, because that was part of God's kingdom work. The mission of the church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world by proclaiming the good news of God's grace and by exemplifying Jesus' command to love God and neighbor, thus seeking the fulfillment of God's reign and realm in the world. We are to worship passionately, love extravagantly, and witness boldly. Guess where that came from? Do you know? Do you know where that came from? That is your published mission statement according to your website. In addition to that, you are called and sent through, for example, the Great Commission of Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, to participate in God's mission in the world. God's creation was God's mission. Whatever the reasons, and as we read through scriptures, we can sometimes see something that will remind us how much God loves us and that God values us. Thank you for that today, Donna. How much God values us. And God's creation is God's mission. You know, the word mission is actually comes from a Latin term. Now, I had a disagreement with a professor, a very intelligent and educated professor, about something a long time ago, because I was studying church history and it revealed itself to me through the material that I was being caused to read, that there had been a linguistic following of certain varieties of faith, one to the east, one to the west. And Latin, which was the Roman language, which originally came from Celtic languages, is what brought us into faith in the West. Whereas faith as it is in the East is somewhat the same and somewhat different. It's a different linguistic basis. So I find that very fascinating, and it's something that we might, as we think in terms of English, we might want to sort of bear in mind that there is a Roman influence in it. So the word mission in the dictionary basically means sent. And there are many kinds of missions in the world, in the world, okay? So there are mission statements for almost every formalized organization that talk about what they want to do and why. Most of those are for earning money, gaining a profit. Some of them are outright greedy. There are mission statements for social advocate organizations, things like the NAACP and the ACLU, and a variety of things like that. They will have a mission statement about what it is they are trying to do, even some of which aren't quite cause-based in that way. There would be one for the organization that's for the protection of animals. We'll have a mission statement somewhere. If we went out and looked, we would find them. But these are human mission statements. When it comes to the mission of the church, then if we have a mission statement, that mission statement needs to be responsive to God's mission. Now, I'm not going to say that this one is not, okay? That's not where I'm coming from. But we need to know how it is responsive to God's mission. So God began his mission way back in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1, which is a song, by the way. And key phrases we find among those verses in Genesis 1. We find verses about separating night from day and land from water. And we hear God telling living things to be fruitful and multiply. All through the first 5 days of creation. And then we come to the sixth day. The sixth day, when God eventually decides it is time to create in God's own image people. Men and women, people in God's own image. And to give into their hands the control, and I'm reading through this as we've read through it today, each time I've listened to it from Genesis, that it says subdue, to subdue. And I suspect that if I did a word search on that I would find part of what that means is to tame. All of the world is wild. To tame the world. To put it under their feet. You know, even humankind has needed tamed throughout history. If we look at the books of the law carefully, then what we will discover is that there is an action that is revenge-oriented. You take this from me, I get this from you. It's not uncommon in legal systems that you take this, I get this. You destroy this, you pay me back. You kill someone, your life is gone from you. It's not uncommon. In fact, there are still small civilizations that function on a basis of a rule of revenge. And the particular article that I read several years ago was an interview with a young man whose uncle had been killed. Someone within his family had died at the hands of some other person or persons. And the law that he lived under was that revenge had to be taken for the loss of that life. Generation after generation until it occurred. And it had finally come to him for a man that he had never known within his family. Revenge. What does the Lord say? Vengeance is mine. I heard it. Thank you. It's exactly what I wanted. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. So our life of faith and the law that we live under, the law of God, is somewhat different from the law of the world. And it's up to us to learn to distinguish them as part of being part of the mission of God. Because God's mission that began in creation is full of the characteristics of God: love, light, joy, peace, truth, fullness. A fullness of life. A fullness of life. And in addition to all of that, relationship with our Lord. You know, God created man and woman, and God created a garden. He hewed out of the earth and whatever was on it in its wildness a place that would be his very own, and it was a garden. A king's garden. King's gardens back in those days might have included all kinds of exotic plants and animals, things that you and I have never seen. Some of them are extinct from the earth now. Some of them may never have been on the same ground that we stand upon when we stand on the earth. God's garden. And he planted a man that was his own choice, that he created out of dust, to be perfectly connected to him. And he put that man, Adam, in the garden to make it his home, with the order to be fruitful and multiply. God's intention from the very beginning was increase, was expansion. Adam needed companionship. How much does God love us? God could see in Adam that Adam was lonely, that he was not thriving without companionship, that he desperately needed it. And so God made woman, made Eve, a part of him, a part of Adam, but also created in God's own image to be with Adam. And we take that seriously, don't we? I think we do. And God brought Eve to Adam. Unfortunately, these two young people are kind of like we are as humans in this modern age. You know, we get ourselves into deep trouble, and it's been going on for a very long time. I usually plant the start of it with the Industrial Revolution, but it's probably older than that. Because we discover some potential in something, and we build technologies out of it and around it without ever asking God whether it is going to do good or do harm, without ever asking God for wisdom in how that must happen or whether it should at that point in time. And then the next thing we know, it is either monetized, which means somebody's getting money out of it, they're being greedy and they're using it for their gain, or it is weaponized. So we owe medical advances that came about because of research done at their own life expense by the Curies that is now weaponized to the point where it could lead to self-destruction of all life on this planet. And God's mission in creation was for increase, for the beauty, for the joy, for the loveliness, for the relationship. With dead people? I don't think so. There's been a lot going on in the news, and as we've already heard once today, you know, there's even that idea that it could lead to World War III. But But if we look at the abundance of nuclear weaponry that is available in countries on this earth right now, it could destroy all life several times over. We worry about the bees, and rightly so. Without the bees, we do not have plant life to provide food. Without human beings, those things that have been set in motion by human beings to function under human supervision no longer have that supervision, and they go wild. Every nuclear process begins to melt down. Beyond the radioactivity that implements of war release into our world, they would continue to add more. And that undermines the mineral substance in our earth when it's exposed to a lot of radioactivity. And it becomes brittle and vulnerable. An earthquake or heavy rain or lightning storms, all of those take a toll on things upon this earth, do they not? After a big storm and you drive down the road, what do you see? You see litter from the trees? Of course you do. You see where a branch has been across the road? Sure you do. You start seeing animals that have crawled out of their holes because they're flooded out? Sure you do. And it doesn't stop there. We have become wild. Human beings have become wild. And God's mission is for us to be tame, to thrive, to increase, to spread God's glory across the entire world. God's glory. God has given us glory. God has given us all that God has given us. God even saw fit to come in the name of Jesus to dwell among us and to be basically at our mercy, suffering all of the same situations that we have, the inability to be in all places and all times, the demand that we take up space upon the earth and our bodies require certain things and certain processes. Jesus was fully human and fully God to dwell among us, to give himself to us. And there's a biblical basis for all of that. God made promises to Abraham. He even told Abraham in a vision that if God failed to keep any of the promises he was making to Abraham, that God himself would be the sacrifice demanded because that had not been fulfilled. Basically, dedication to the Lord, which is basically to be burnt, to die. God said to Abraham this, basically, if I do not fulfill these promises, I die. And because the people of God were not the people that God could work through in order to fulfill those promises and they went unmet, God came and gave himself in Jesus to torture, to death, to the grave. And then God the Father, through the fulfillment of these promises, came out of the grave with the Holy Spirit and with power. And continued upon this earth for 40 days so that he could satisfy a yet incomplete teaching that was needed by those who would come after him to increase and to spread the glory of God through Jesus Christ throughout the world. God's mission. God's mission. Full of love and light and truth. And we live in a world that barely knows what truth is, sort of like Pontius Pilate saying to Jesus, "What is truth?" Unable to discern it. And truth is what is needed. We talked over at Mount Carmel a bit about responses to some of the things that are going on with this situation in between Iran and Israel. Because I've been hearing people dissatisfied with the fact that they are not being told what is going to be done before it's done over there. And I said to him, or asked him, do you expect, as a person who's been in the military, that when you are in the military, you are going to be told exactly what you are going to do and when before it happens? He said, no. And nobody who knew me knew. I didn't know until maybe 15 minutes before I left. And maybe sometimes not until I was on the way, right up to the last minute before I got where I was going, did I know why I was even being sent there. And there was a motto at one time, right? Loose lips sink ships. Loose lips sink ships. Do you tell those who will be loose-lipped about what you are doing, what you are going to do in response to an enemy? Believe me, the answer to that is no. It's reflected in parables. That's why the Lord arrives in the middle of the night and the servants aren't expecting him. Because that plays into the second coming of Jesus. His enemies are not going to be expecting him. And those who can't be trusted with that truth are not going to know how to warn the enemy that that's going to happen. God is good. God is powerful. God is mighty. And it is up to us to know the truth of God, to know it fully, and to go into those places where it is not known, to risk all by putting it in God's hands for God's purpose, in obedience to the command that we have been given to make disciples of Jesus Christ, who each one, except perhaps for John, who died of old age, each one died for their faith, and to trust in God that God will work through us to do what needs to be done and to share the truth. To know the truth and to share the truth. So God has a mission. God's mission is creation and God's love for creation and all of the ministries of God that come from the love of God. And our mission as the people of God, as a church of God's ownership, as a home that belongs to God, as a house of prayer for God, where God's presence is. Our mission is that anything and everything we do in the way of ministry should be in line with what we view as being our mission, not separate from the mission of God, but in cooperation and participation with the mission of God. Amen? Amen. Amen.